Welcome to the Elevating La Cultura podcast, a space where I talk with Latinas who are passionate about what they do and are willing to share that passion with others to change the narrative, especially for the next generation. Each season is centered around different topics, but all with the Latina perspective. Welcome to season 9, where we will talk about reflecting on personal stories and letting our brilliance shine. I'm so excited to share these powerful conversations. So vámonos, and let's get into it. It's another week with another amazing guest. Erika is a face behind Viajerica, which is a play on words combining the words viajera and her name. A viajera is a traveler, and for the past 8 years, she's been exploring while also going from nurse to health tech professional to unemployed. Erika took her unemployment as an opportunity to explore the thing that lights her up inside and makes her feel alive, traveling. Erika loves photography and writing stories to transport us to these experiences. She likes to share how you can actually go there too by offering more affordable travel options. Travel doesn't have to be staying in $1,000 resorts and flying first class, but that was all she saw in the travel blogging space. So she wanted to do it differently, and she wanted to do it her own way while encouraging and sharing how others can do it too. So let's get into this episode. Hi, I am so excited to talk to you today. I am here with Erika. We connected because of an amazing girls trip that we had in Mexico. And believe it or not, we didn't really know each other before we went. And it was just still an amazing experience. I mean, we knew each other through Instagram. We met a few times before we went on a trip, on the trip, but I think like being on the trip and like being around each other like solidified our friendship. And I'm just so excited to know you, to speak with you today, and for you to share your story. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So excited to be here. Thank you so much, Karina. I totally agree that Chiapas trip just kind of like fast-tracked a friendship. So I'm really excited to be here. But my name is Erika Garduño. I am second generation Mexican American. So my mom was born in Tampico, Tamaulipas in Mexico, and my dad's family is from Mexico City. I think when I think about like how to describe myself, it was hard for a long time because I'm just like, okay, I love to travel. I love to take photos. I love to any opportunity to write about it and to kind of take people on a literary journey. And when I met my husband's family in Colombia for the first time, they were like getting to know me, asking questions. And then they looked at my Instagram and they're like, oh, you're a viajera. Okay. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm a viajera. And it kind of stuck.
Oh my gosh. I love that you've used that for your Instagram now and the story behind it. I am just so inspired by the reason people pick their Instagram handles, especially because when I meet someone, like I typically only know them by their Instagram handle. And then as I get to know them, I'm like, oh, you have a name. And it's not just from Instagram. But yes, I did get to know you via Instagram and saw all of the places that you were traveling. But I also know that you didn't start out as like a travel blogger. So what brought you to what you're doing now?
Yes. So that is a great question. So this year I actually officially launched like a more professional Instagram, got a website coming soon. As you mentioned, it's Viajerica is my handle, and it's combining two words. So Viajera, as I described kind of like the influence and the inspiration behind that. And then of course my name, Erika, so Viajerica. And it also means viajerica, which is another kind of play on words for me, because I like to seek out destinations that are more rich in culture and authenticity than necessarily like a rich bougie resort. I definitely think there's like a time and place for relaxing kind of beach vacation, but I really just kind of enjoy immersing myself in culture and kind of sharing about those experiences and just inspiring others to explore that way too. And I think places like Mexico have so much to offer, and I've been maybe popping off a little and going to Mexico a lot. And it's just been really fun to kind of share it through my lens. And I just really want to, you know, inspire more people to get out there, inspire more people to experience things for themselves and kind of just use travel as an opportunity to connect, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to widen your world lens and just kind of learn more about yourself and other cultures.
And I think that's so important because I think pre-COVID, there were a lot of travel bloggers that were kind of just using the places that they went for the picture and for the, I don't know, the accolades or just to say like, oh, I can travel anywhere. And especially as a Latina and with our family's history, like that can be a little complex. As I've learned, like not everyone has the privilege to travel freely. And when you are traveling with a different mindset, like it just makes it even more powerful. And as you traveled within Mexico, like I feel inspired, even as I travel throughout Mexico, I feel inspired to see other people traveling with that curiosity, with that intention of not necessarily just taking, but also like, how are you interacting? What can you give back? What is the purpose? How are you educating yourself and others? So what has been like your biggest intention or takeaway or purpose that you have learned as you travel that you can then like pass on to other people as they travel?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I understand both sides, right? Like I love taking photos. So I love a good photo op and I love like seeking out, like, you know, just kind of doing all that stuff. But I also really like the kind of the history behind it and understanding so that you get like a full picture of what it is that you're appreciating, what the history of it was, what the people had to go through for this church, for example, to be standing in front of you today. So I think my biggest takeaway is kind of showing the whole picture, right? So I've been to places, for instance, like Charleston. And when I write about places like that, I really like to give the whole picture. So not glossing over some of the not so pretty history and kind of presenting in fairness and actuality and kind of appreciation for what people have gone through for like places like Charleston, South Carolina to exist. Because sometimes for such a beautiful city, there can be a dark history. And I just think highlighting both, right? It doesn't have to take away from the fact that it's still a beautiful history, but you kind of acknowledge and you give some credit to what had gone on in order to make the reality today a thing.
That is beautiful and a good way to think about travel. And I think as a Latina, it had like one of the reasons that I started traveling in Mexico was because I wanted to shift this lens of like, okay, there's all these white girls traveling throughout Mexico, but I can also travel as a Latina. And like, there's power in bringing representation to the travel space. So how have you navigated that and being a Latina and being intentional about traveling and exploring?
No, I totally agree when you say that. I think sometimes, you know, it kind of comes from our own parents, and my parents are both of Mexican descent. And for a long time, they discouraged a lot of travel to Mexico. And I think we just hear stories and, you know, they've heard stories of people's stories, and there becomes like a lot of fear around exploring it. But then I would follow travel pages and I would see people of all different backgrounds, but, you know, largely a lot of Americans, a lot of white Europeans, going to these places. And I was like, why is it okay for them? But it's, you know, so I'm like, okay, maybe I have to challenge some of these narratives and kind of find ways to like dip my toe in. So I think one of my first trips was like Mexico City and Oaxaca, where I kind of really got to go like, you know, outside of the Cancun, outside of the Playa del Carmen that like I had been to before. and I was hooked because it's just, I think it's very different. One, like getting to go to these places and experiencing the culture and the people and the food and just the richness in all things. But then there's an extra layer of it when you're Latino or Latina or Mexican for me as well, because it feels a little bit like coming home. Like it feels like all of a sudden you're surrounded by the colors of your culture and like little reminders and family names. And it's just hard to put into words, but it's just like a different level of appreciation. And it's that that I really want to share with people. And it's that that I want people to see and understand. And even if they don't maybe necessarily have the same tie that I do, I want them to be able to see the same level of appreciation for sure. And just kind of see Mexico beyond like the resorts, beyond the beaches, because it's a huge country. It just has so much to offer. And every little city that I go to is like so profoundly different. And, you know, they all have their own cultural norms and their own foods. And it's just really cool. So I've been really enjoying the ride.
Yeah, there's something that you cannot put to words. Like as soon as you set foot in Mexico, on Mexican soil, that it's like your body just relaxes. And it's something that is so wild and it's like unexplainable, but so profound. And it's like, so I get it. And it's, I wish I could put it into words. I wish I could explain it, but yes. And I think that even growing up as a kid, I would go to Mexico, visit family, and we'd only go one place and then to the beach. And that was all I knew of Mexico. So as an adult, I was like, oh, well, let me go to Mexico City. Let me try Oaxaca. And I was blown away by the diversity. And it's something that is a misconception, I think, to Americans that Mexico is only like one way, like tacos, margaritas, beach. But just like the U.S. has so much diversity in within the country, within like terrain and foods, like southern foods are much different than like food that you find on the East Coast or West Coast. Totally. Or even in Chicago, like you can't find a Chicago dog anywhere.
Or Chicago pizza.
Exactly. And having that realization that it's the same in Mexico, that I can't just go anywhere and order like a torta ahogada. And like people will be like, okay. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah. Or like even just calling different foods different names. Oh my gosh,
yeah. I so agree.
I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's so eye-opening, but so like it brings you closer to your culture to be able to learn all of these things. I know that you just went to Mexico with your family, with your yes. mom. And you were describing it as such an amazing and powerful experience. Why was that? I'd love to hear a little bit more about that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think when I talk about like the older generations or, you know, our parental figures kind of scaring us away from Mexico a little bit, my mom was definitely one of them. I think the town where she's from in Mexico, she had been following like a lot of the crime and been getting kind of like scared about it. So like, it's really sad. I've never been to the town where she was born, never been. And I'm like itching to go. I would love to go. And I think we're getting closer, but really my last trip to Mexico, taking along my mom, taking along my aunt was kind of like me dipping their toe in the way that I dipped my toe in with Mexico City and Oaxaca. So we went to San Miguel de Allende and my mom has been like wanting to go there for forever. She talks about like staying out there for a summer and just kind of like spending extended time. And we're like, okay, let's go there first. So we went there and I mean, she loved it. San Miguel is, you know, a little bit expat, a little bit touristy, but I think it also has a lot of riches in culture, a lot of attractions nearby, a lot of natural kind of, you know, the Cañada de la Virgen. It has like different things that you can definitely do to kind of go outside of your bubble a little bit. And just getting to kind of, I don't want to say introduce Mexico, right? Because she was born there. It's her country too, but like reintroduce the concept and kind of open her mind to the fact of maybe it's changed, or maybe, you know, there are certain places we can go and certain ways that we can do it where we can still explore off of a resort, but you're still going to feel safe. And that was definitely our experience. And she's already itching to go back. And, you know, I think the pride that I saw in her and the way she was just kind of talking about our travels and the way she was talking about the people and just the energy was so beautiful to see. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to just kind of reopen that door for her and reintroduce it. And I hope that, you know, as more generations of our family continue, we get to keep that door open and we get to create that, help foster that connection for them as well, because it's so important and it's meaningful and it does something in your heart that's just, you know, as we described, it's beyond words. It's really special.
Yeah, I think, well, San Miguel de Allende was my first solo trip to Mexico. And yeah, it holds a special place in my heart. And it is beautiful. And I do encourage people, like, if you're looking for a solo trip to Mexico, like, San Miguel de Allende is it to get your
bearings. Great place to start.
Yes, yes. I love that. And I know that you don't just travel to Mexico. You travel all around the world. So yeah. What places have you been that are not just in Mexico or the U.S.?
Yeah, so I've actually been to a ton of countries in Europe, and that's been a really fun journey as well. When I was working as a nurse in a hospital, I had very flexible PTO, which was great because you could work, you know, your three shifts in a row, take a week off, come back, work your weekend. You didn't really take any PTO. So I would go to Europe a lot. I had a friend who lived right outside of Paris, and we would kind of use that as a jumping off point and then go to different countries. So some of my favorites have been France, Portugal, Belgium. The chocolate is 100% worth the hype. It is so good. Switzerland was beautiful, just like a dream. The nature was just so gorgeous. Spain, of course, Italy, the UK, Ireland, really got to explore a ton of Europe. And then with my husband, he's Colombian and French. So we've gone to Colombia a few times. We're actually planning another trip there this year. So really excited to go back. And we've done a lot of the coast because that's where his family is from. So Santa Marta, Cartagena, they're from Cienega. So we've spent some time in their smaller town as well. And then I'd love to go more inland on some of our next trips. So maybe Medellin is hopefully on the agenda. And then aside from that, I think one of the countries that I was maybe the most surprised by was the Dominican Republic. And it was just so, I had been wanting to go to Santo Domingo, their capital, for a really long time. And we found a way to do Santo Domingo and the northern kind of tip called Samaná, which is like a beach area. And oh my gosh, I had read like all these horror stories about how it's unsafe. And, you know, I was kind of getting into that narrative. And then I was like, you know what, let's go. We'll plan a little group. We'll like work out the agenda. And it was so gorgeous. Nothing at all like what I had read. The people were incredible. The food was delicious. The beaches and the waterfalls were like nothing I've seen before. So that one was definitely a very happy surprise.
Oh man, I think of the DR only because that's where the Love is Blind people, like season 6, went over there. Yes, they went there for their the honeymoon after the proposal for all of my Love is Blind people, and yes, it looks beautiful. I think. Seeing places on TV and in shows is also inspiring to say like, oh, I love, like, I've never seen the DR, maybe because this show was filmed there, like that's my next place, or like, I'm curious about that. Have you been inspired by any shows to pick your next travel destination, or how do you choose where to go to next?
That is a good question. I don't know that I've been inspired by like a TV or a movie so far, but I do get inspired by like following other travelers and just kind of friends and family. And For example, I think I came across a photo on Instagram of grutas de Tolantongo, and it was posted by a friend, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, where is this place? And I had like inboxed her. I'm like, this is beautiful. This is incredible. Please tell me more. And she shared, and I was like, okay, I'm going there. I was like, I don't know when, but it's now officially on the list. So I think I do get some kind of inspiration from Instagram, from friends, from families, from other travelers. And then I don't know, sometimes just like random inspiration, I guess, like things just kind of pop in my head. I think the Dominican Republic, I had just been, I don't even remember now where it was, but it had been on my list for a very long time. And it was one of those where I was like, I've got to go here. I just feel like a pull, you know, and I tend to like to follow those pulls.
As you've traveled outside of Mexico, US, have you encountered any biases or microaggressions as a Latina, as you're traveling, let's say Europe or even different countries?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I think, so I'm like maybe medium bilingual. I speak some Spanish, but I'm not fluent.
Same.
Well, you fooled me because I definitely thought you were. But my Spanish has gotten a lot better as I've gotten older and I've just practiced it more. But, you know, I was definitely, you know, I've always been pretty tan. I think I look pretty like a person of color. Most people guess that I'm Mexican. So I would always get like the approach in Spanish and sometimes the disappointment that comes with like, oh, she doesn't speak. So I feel like I came across that at first. And then as I kind of have leaned more into it, that's lessened a lot the more that I've just gotten more comfortable speaking. Because what I really love about largely people who speak Spanish is I really don't feel like they're gatekeepers of Spanish, or they're not like some languages where if you say something wrong, they're like going to scowl at you and like turn up their nose and walk away. Like, they just want you to try. So I think like as I've leaned in more, I've gotten less of that. But I definitely, you know, going to certain parts of Europe where Switzerland, for example, maybe they're used to more of a certain type of tourist. It's pretty pricey there. And so I think I got a lot of stares from what my husband likes to tell me, that people would just be like, who is that little brown girl? Where did she come from? And how is she here? And like, what is she doing? I tend to be like in my own little world, especially when I'm traveling, because it's just like my place of joy, and I'm just trying to like soak up everything around me. And maybe the last thing I'm doing is paying attention to how people are perceiving me, which is probably not the best. So I can't say that I noticed in the moment. I definitely heard.
I love that. I love that you can like kind of just shut it out, because sometimes it can be very limiting, especially when you're noticing. And I think sometimes I'm on the other end of the spectrum and I'm always like, are you looking at me a certain way? Like, and I think that sometimes that gets in my head, and then I'm just like, let me close myself off to protect myself. And that can be limiting. And so I love, like, you just are like, I'm here. I'm enjoying just like any other person. And what? So I think that is a great inspiration, and also a way that you are shifting the mindset of other Latina travelers, but also people in the country, like saying like, oh, well, she is just floating through life as a tourist, and like, let's feed off of that energy and giving a different perception on traveling, especially as we move towards a more multicultural society. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I think it's something I think about in the travel space in general too. Like something that really motivates me is being a Latina travel influencer is like a huge goal, because I just haven't seen a ton of them, or like even the travelers in general, like taking out like culture, like you just see like a, in my experience, like a very like narrow view, and it's always like the super bougie resorts, right? Or they're covering like the million-dollar bungalows. And it's like, that's great. And some people like love to watch and kind of like join vicariously. But I like to show like one, like a Latina doing it, right? And like being in the space and like taking up space and kind of being unashamed of that, but also doing it in a way that seems more approachable and kind of breaking it down and sharing, not from a place of like, look what I can afford and what I can do, but like, look what's out there. And like, let me tell you how to do it too. I really want to like encourage people to kind of like book their own journey or find their own way to do it affordably and kind of get out there and travel and grow and change and do all the fun things that travel allows.
And I think that is one thing that you brought to the group when we traveled was your desire to make the most of our trip. And I'm going to bring up the one tour that we did where we were like back and forth, like, oh, we need to like be ready at 3:30 a.m., meaning we're getting up at 2:30, 2 o'clock to get ready. And we knew that it was going to be like an all day thing. And we didn't get back to like 10:30 p.m. Like it was all day. And we were back. Right. And we were back and forth like, oh, do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? And you were like, look, I want to get to that waterfall. Like, and we were just like, dang, this is the only way we're going to do that. And I think it was you like pushing us to go out and say like, okay, this is a once in a lifetime experience type of thing. Like if we want to do this, this is what we got to do to get there. And like, I loved that energy that you brought to the group because once we were there, it was like, it didn't matter if we got up at 2 a.m. to be at the waterfall at like 2 p.m. because it was like a whole 12 hours to get there. We were just so in awe of being in the presence of nature on that level. And so I am grateful for your dedication to like, no, I want to see this. We are here. Like, even if we have to make a few sacrifices on sleep, like, it's going to be worth it, guys. And you encouraged us. And I think that we can take that example in traveling as well, because a lot of times, like, our lives are so busy and so bogged down that once we get into like travel mode, we kind of want to not do anything. And when you're shifting that mindset of travel, like, no, I want to be inspired. Like, this should be energy giving. Like, how can I shift my mindset to appreciate the land that I'm in? Just takes travel to a whole new level and appreciation of different cultures and different experiences. So I want to give you all your flowers for getting us up and having us have that experience, because honestly, it was amazing. Yeah. And I love that spirit of like, no, I just like, I want to do this. And I am like, a lot of times we take that voice of like, no, you don't deserve that. Or like, oh no, you shouldn't be here. And we let that dictate our choices. And just having your like free spirit guide us in that experience was amazing. And so I thank you for that.
Thank you. I was going to say, it reminds me of the first time that I had been to Grutas de Tolantolo. We were going a day trip from Mexico City. I was traveling with my husband. We were going to Mexico for a wedding. And then we were just like kind of making a little trip out of it and like hitting a couple spots. So we had a really limited amount of time in Mexico City, and I love Mexico City. I'm actually going back there next week. I'm hosting a group of girls, and we're going to tour Mexico City together. So I'm really excited for that. But we had very limited time, and I was like really excited for Thomas, my husband, to get to experience all of the things. And I was like, the one thing like I've got to do is I've got to go to Grutas de Tolantolo. Like, I don't care what else we do, we've got to go. And it was another all-day tour. And Thomas was like, Erica, like, come come on. And I'm like, no, Thomas, we got to do it. We got to do it. And we went and it was incredible. And he still talks about it and he loved it. And when we were there, I was just like, see, Thomas, like sometimes you just got to push. You got to push a little bit. I think especially when it comes to like natural wonders or just kind of things in water like that, I'm very drawn to it. And the different waterfall experiences that we had in the DR, I really got to feel like the energy of a waterfall and just kind of sitting, being in it, like witnessing it, but also feeling it. And that was a big reason why I was able to push a little bit in Chiapas, because I was like, no, this is going to be an experience. And I know it's going to be an experience and it's going to be a little tough, maybe on the front and back end, but certainly worth it. And I'm so glad that we were all on board and we got to experience that day. Because I agree, it was incredible. Like, couldn't have been missed. I'm so glad we didn't. And even though, you know, it was a little, we were trying to figure out how we can do it and how we can do it more reasonably, or, you know, like, what are our options? And then I think we kind of caved into like, all right, 17-hour tortoise. And made the most of it.
We were sitting on that decision for like a month. But yeah, that brings me to ask, how are you working on healing yourself in order to heal the next generation?
Yes, that is a great question. So I think one of the things I've been doing is just learning to communicate better, establishing boundaries, really expressing my emotions, learning to manage my emotions more efficiently, and just kind of breaking bad habits when it comes to how I maintain relationships. So trying not to overextend myself or being careful to preserve my energy. I've seen how much it helps and how it can really allow me to show up as my best self and, you know, the self that I'm proud of. So leaning more into that. And as far as the next generation, just definitely trying to break some of the cycles that I've seen, and really pour into the children in our lives. So Thomas and I don't have kids, but we have the sweetest nieces and nephews, our friends' kids who, you know, our friends are like family as well. And we love spending time with them. I have this little cabinet at my condo, and it's filled with like puzzles and coloring books and crayons and toys. And I love creating a space where when they come over with their parents, I want them to feel like they're wanted here, right? And they're not just like an afterthought. Like, they know that they'll come, and Thea Erica will go with them to pick out a toy, and I'll sit there and color with them and really spend one-on-one time and just give them that attention and energy. For me, that was really important growing up. My grandpa and his partner had that kind of a space for us. And I think that's what I try to recreate. And I just try to make them feel important, make them feel like they know that they're appreciated and wanted there.
I think that is huge for kids to feel that, especially if as an adult you're realizing you didn't feel that as a kid. I think of all the things that I am shifting and changing, and a lot of that is just like how I was made to feel as a kid. So that is so beautiful that you are being intentional about the time that you spend with your nieces and nephews, because they will appreciate that like for their whole lives, I can assure you. You mentioned that you are getting ready to lead a trip. And by the time this airs, the trip will probably have passed. But I wanted to ask, for people who have never done like a solo travel trip or have like explored, like they want to explore more, but are kind of feeling like, where do I start? What tips or tricks would you have for them in order to start that first trip or planning that first trip?
So I would say sometimes it can be hard to get a trip kind of out of the group chat and, you know, to have the stars all align with the people you want to go with and kind of the PTO and et cetera. So I think if you're running into that a lot, one, see if you can like, you know, aligned with someone who's like more like, yeah, no, we're going, and more of that energy. But if you can't, there are a ton of different groups out there that allow you to kind of solo travel in a group. And so they will help a lot with like planning the itinerary, with kind of booking your accommodations and providing really the group to be able to go with. And I went on one of those trips for the first time this past December to Budapest. And it was similar to Chiapas, similar and dissimilar, because Chiapas, you know, there were girls in the group that I knew, and then, you know, like yourself, people who I didn't know as well. When I went to Budapest, I really didn't know anybody. And it was kind of like, okay, this could go great. This could not go great, but we're going to find out. And I'm happy to report that it was incredible. And it was really cool because you get to kind of go on your own, and you could definitely like in terms of traveling there, and you could definitely go off on your own, and kind of a lot of the activities were optional. So it gave you like the energy and the feeling of like, wow, I'm doing it, you know, like I'm kind of solo traveling, but like if I want company and I want to meet up with the girls for dinner, like I can do that too. So best of both worlds, I would say. Just find the way that you can do it. And then once you start doing it, in my experience, once I just started traveling and started finding ways and doing it, I would get the inboxes from friends and family, and they'd be like, oh my God, take me with you. Like, I want to go on the next one. And like, you kind of start creating your travel community there, because they see you doing the thing already. And so they just want to be on that journey with you. And I think the starting part is what's hard for a lot of people, just kind of getting your footing and getting the confidence in yourself to know like, okay, things can go totally sideways. And if they do, like, I know I can manage it and I can handle it and I'll find the way out. And I think that's part of the fun of travel, is like, it's not always predictable. And it's like, stuff hits the fan sometimes, for sure. And it's like a challenge to kind of like, see, how are you going to manage your way out of it? Or like, how can you pivot, you know, and keep the energy going, which, you know, sometimes can be harder than others, but always worth it.
I love that. So where can people follow you and be inspired by you and maybe even join you on a trip in the future?
Yes, great question. So for right now, you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is viajerica_. So that's Viajera, and then like my name, Rica, I guess, Viajerica_ on Instagram. Working on a website that's coming up, and I'm really excited for that, because I just want a better place to really like organize all the different trip itineraries and kind of connect them in different ways, give you the links to the exact tours that I book so that you can kind of recreate some of those experiences, but also go with a tour guide that has been vetted and, you know, has had good experiences with its clientele. So that's coming soon. Want to be able to give you even more travel recommendations than what I can provide in my caption and Instagram, because as I've mentioned, I love to write and Instagram only allows so many characters. So I'm really excited to have a bigger kind of a blog space to be able to write about and incorporate even more photos. And I would love if y'all would join me on a trip. This trip is coming up in April, as you mentioned. We'll probably have come and gone once this podcast has aired, but definitely the first of many. So there is more coming. So follow me on Instagram to follow the journey.
Yay. And last question. What encouragement or advice would you have for the next generation? I know that you shared something that you're doing in order to pour into them, but if you could like summarize some encouragement to pour into them, what would that be?
Absolutely. I would say follow your joy. Think about what lights you up inside and see how you can pursue it, see how you can make a living out of it. I really believe in the importance of representation and just being able to see yourself in someone who's, you know, made it, whether your ideal profession is as a nurse, as a teacher, as a pilot, as a travel influencer. I think seeing yourself in those people, it just teaches kids that they can do it too. And they can do anything they want to do. So I think even if there isn't that representation yet in your field, become that representation.
So good. And speaking of joy, what is bringing you joy right now?
Ooh. So I think definitely hosting my first like trip to Mexico City, huge joy, huge pinch me moment. Cause I'm like, I just love being in this space, and I love like exploring all the different paths that it leads me to being here today on this podcast and just kind of seeing like my influence grow and truly like growing into being that reference, to being like somebody that you can shoot a question to. And it's like, if I haven't been there, I can give you advice. So doing the thing is bringing me a lot of joy right now. Finally, like making it happen, things that I've been talking about, dreaming about, wondering like, oh, could you do that one day? And like being like, no, today's the day. And today we're going to be on a podcast. Definitely brings a lot of joy.
Yay. Yes, I am celebrating right there with you. And I am so excited to see what you're going to do this year and when our next trip together is going to be. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you sharing your story. I'm so excited to continue our friendship and continue cheering each other on and traveling together. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I totally agree. Can't wait for the next Tepas trip.
Oh, I know. I'm dreaming. Anyway, I'm sure that we will see each other soon, even if it's not outside of the country. We will hang out soon, and I am excited about it.
Yes, totally agree.
All right, see you later. Bye.
Bye.
I'm so thankful to have connected with Erika, who is so passionate about ethical traveling and opening the space for Latinas to have representation in the travel blogging space. Be sure to stay tuned for her upcoming trips. There will be a new episode every Tuesday, so after you listen, feel free to take a screenshot to post on Instagram and tag at Elevating La Cultura, or send me a DM. You can also comment on this YouTube video if you're watching online. I always like to hear from people and how they resonate with the stories that I share. So leave a review on Apple Podcasts so we can get more ears listening to these stories and we can continue elevating La Cultura. And if you haven't already, check out the Elevating La Cultura Comunidad on Facebook. We also host monthly Comadre networking events. So if you're in Chicago, join us for one of those. All upcoming events can be found on the website elevatinglacultura.com. All right, enjoy the rest of your day, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening, y nos vemos next week. Bye.